Poorly Read.
All right, hello everyone. Welcome to Poorly Read. Should I do that again?
No, it was me. I was like, for a second, I thought you were speaking out loud what you were typing in the Atomic Gash group. Oh god! In case we keep this, Atomic Gash is the name of our mine and Tom's D&D group with our friends.
Yeah, somehow the name of it became Atomic Gash.
I do not even remember how.
Me neither.
Like, I don't know where. I mean, I can imagine the gash just came as part of, like, oh, let's be us. But I don't know where.
Yeah, a vagina came. Joke.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
Genitalia. What comedy? But yeah, I don't know where the atomic bit came from. Like, at all.
No. But that's what the group's called now.
Yeah. We play Dungeons and Dragons. Have we ever said that before?
I don't know. I think I've definitely referenced D&D before.
Yeah, you've referenced it. I don't know. Yeah, so we have a Dungeons and Dragons group.
Do with that information what you will.
I think that's how we became friends, actually. I don't think we really, like...
Yeah, I hated you before that.
I remember your story when you first met me. It was at the Christmas party.
Yeah, you had never said a word to me before. You must have already been half cut. And I was talking to someone who you were with, and I was thinking about, like, I was like, oh, shall I just get a bottle? I was thinking about getting a glass of wine. I was like, oh, but if I'm going to be drinking a lot, shall I just get a bottle? And you just went over and went, you're going to share it though, yeah? Literally the first word you ever said to me.
Oh my God. That's so bad. Oh God. Did you even respond to me? Because I would have ignored me if I were you.
I can't remember, to be honest.
Oh wow. Oh, memories. Oh dear. Well yeah, what chapters are we doing this episode?
We are doing, if I remember rightly, chapters 24, 25 and 26. I don't know why I said if I remember rightly. I'm literally looking at it in my notes right now. Just felt like I needed to add a bit of fluff in there, you know.
Have you ever had fluff, like the marshmallow treat?
Have I ever been fluffed?
You know when you're on a porn set, Tom, and you just, they need to set up the camera. And you just need to stay hard. Have you ever been fluffed? Also, what a fucking job.
Yeah.
Like.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's the best job in the world.
Maybe.
Wow.
You get to suck all the dick, but you don't have to put your face on camera.
Yeah. And everyone is, like, impossibly beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe that's what we should be doing. Maybe that's what our new podcast should be about.
Fluff life.
Fluff. We just bring on, like, various porn stars. One of us sucks them off and the other one interviews them.
I'm in. I'm 100% in.
Oh, dear. Oh, Happy New Year, everyone.
Oh, yeah. This is going out on the 1st of January.
Yeah. Happy No Year. Happy No Year. That was a choice Friends reference for you there.
Yep.
I hope that we had fun on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I probably got wasted. I was probably sick, to be fair.
Hmm.
But then I haven't been hungover or properly wasted for quite a while.
I got quite drunk on my birthday a few days ago.
Yeah, you did.
And I regretted it the day after.
Yeah, because Tom can't handle his drink anymore.
No.
That's what happens when you turn 50.
Mm. I can handle it on the night, which is fine.
What did you have, by the way?
Vodka.
Oh, what did you fucking expect, Tom?
But then I can't drink it. Like, even drinking cider and stuff, I still suffer really badly the next day.
But how much do you drink of it then? Say if you was only drinking cider for a night, how many bottles would you have?
Well, I don't know. If I drink three of, can we say the brand? Henry Weston's. Yeah, we can't we?
You just did.
Yeah. Yeah, we're
other,
not being fucking...
Other brands are available.
We're not on TV. We don't need to do that. It's Henry Weston's, the real strong shit, the 8-point-whatever-percent it is, cider. If I have three of them, that does it quite nicely on a night.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I feel like shit the next day.
But I think you drink more. I remember last time I was with you when we both were drinking, I remember I couldn't finish my last cider and you asked if you could have it. So I think you drink like quite a bit more. Yeah.
Oh, how the tables have turned since we first met.
Wow, drinking.
Isn't it good fun? I mean, it is good fun on the night.
It's fun for like an hour and a half. Yeah. And then the wind down and then you feel like shit. And then you get emotional.
See, I don't know. I just keep drinking. Well, I feel like you just like smash all your alcohol, get real drunk. And then then you sort of stop drinking. And that's when you have the wind down.
Yeah.
I just keep drinking all night.
Yeah, I'll kind of drink in succession. But then there comes a point, and it's gotten earlier and earlier as I've gotten older, where I look at another drink and I'm like, I just don't feel like it. And then, I'll just stop drinking at that point. And then so by the time I want to go, I'm kind of like, I've sobered up quite a lot. Mm. And by the time I'm home, I'm a little bit physically drunk still, but like the sort of mental aspect of it is completely gone, which is quite nice because then you go to bed not with the room fucking spinning or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas you seem to like sort of like temper it better.
Yeah, I just continue.
So you just keep on keeping on.
This is it. Once I have a drink, I'm like, get the taste of it.
Yeah.
And just keep fucking going. And then I've never been sick on the night.
Really?
Well, once or twice, but when I hadn't actually drunk that much, but then, oh wait, probably can't say that. And then did other stuff. And I think the other stuff was what caused it.
Right, let's start. Let's stop talking about all the terrible things we did. Chapter 24, Rita Skeeter's Scoop.
Rita Skeeter's Scoop.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone gets up super late after... Oh, it's the day after the Yule Ball, isn't it?
Oh, God, I just thought of the worst joke. I'm so ashamed.
Go on, then.
Sorry. Thought Rita Skeeter's Scoop would be the name of her abortion clinic.
That was the worst joke.
I know. I hate myself. I'm so sorry, God. Alas. Thanks. Fucking hell, everyone gets up late on Boxing Day.
Yeah. Hermione's all like, well, I thought Hagrid must be half giant. Fucking look at him, you dickhead.
Yeah, he's at least three times the size of your average bear.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, yeah, that's true. And Ron's like, yeah, I guess that is true. And Hermione's like, it is true.
They all agree that it's true.
Oh, I put Hagrid is still trying to figure out the egg, but I think I meant to write Harry. Hagrid's just sitting in his thing like, well, how do I fucking fry them? Do I crack it before? Do I put it in the oven? What do I do?
When do I put the chicken in the pan? How do I cook the feathers?
Which came first?
Oh, it's a classic, clean comedy there. That's rare.
So you might have jinxed us now. I bet now we can only think of penile jokes.
Penile jokes.
Yeah, like Hermione's like, how are you getting on with the egg? And Harry's like, I think I'm doing well, right? Or is he still saying he's going to leave it at that point?
He's like, I can't remember, but over the course of this chapter, he sort of lies a few times. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm basically there with it.
Yeah.
And he's starting to get all worried because February 24th looks a lot closer from this side of Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if he had a lot to fucking do with the egg, you know, to figure it out.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to accept Cedric's help straight away because he's all pissy about Cedric walking around holding hands with Cho.
I mean, that's fair enough. I think I would probably be the same. I know I'd be the same. I remember at high school, if someone like used to even be like talking to the guy, like I would like just decide I fucking hated them. Mm. Well, you know what I'm like. I get vendettas against people all the fucking time.
No, I do the same. And I even know that it's completely irrational.
I think when you're bored in your downtime, you got someone to hate. It's like, okay, I'll do that for half an hour. He's also pissed that Cedric's advice was so fucking vague.
Yeah.
I think it's fair enough. Cedric should have just said what the fucking answer to the egg was.
Yeah, I guess. Or at least listen to it underwater.
Yeah.
Because Harry told him exactly what the first task is.
Yeah, so just like, right, so Harry, what you need to do is take the egg with you, put your feet in cement, right? And then we just like to wade out into the lake. Listen to it under there. And Harry's like, oh, all right then, Cedric. Harry walks off, Cedric lights up his cigar. Like.
So they go to care of magical creatures.
Yeah.
And Hagrid's nowhere to be seen.
Instead we have Professor Grubbly Plank.
Professor Grubbly Plank.
Which is not a fucking surname.
Like, it's two surnames.
Yeah. Sounds like a brand of like garden like cleaner, I guess. What you use on like your Winnebago and like your patio outside.
Grubbly Plank.
Yeah, use this. Get rid of all your sinful stains. Yeah, so she's covering the lesson. And I was like, where's Hagrid? And she's like, he's indisposed.
And he's like, don't you mind, you nosy little fucker.
Yeah. Fucking take off your glasses. He's like, why?
What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, I don't know. Insert your own joke here. I think Malfoy...
Yeah, Malfoy's all like, oh, don't you know, Potter?
We need a Malfoy voice. Like, how, like, can you do that again, do you think?
Or just like, oh, Potter, your oaf friend's in the paper. Blah.
Yeah, maybe when he's like, speak like we've got a toffee in our mouth all the time. Oh, Harry Potter. Hey, your fucking giant friend's in the paper. And they're like, what? And then he shoves like the article in front of him. And Rita Skeeter has written about Hagrid being a half giant.
Yeah, and how Hagrid's just always terrorizing the students with monstrous creatures. And Malfoy's given a quote saying he got maimed by a hippogriff and that Crabbe got a bad bite from a flobberworm.
Yeah. But they don't even have teeth, Tom.
No! It's almost like he's full of shit.
Yeah, which he probably is, because I don't reckon he gets a lot of fibre. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So Professor Grubbly Plank is teaching about unicorns. So she leads them all into the forest. And there's a... Is it a male unicorn there or a lady unicorn?
It's a unicorn.
It's just a unicorn. It's a genderless unicorn. And she's like, the girls can step forward. The men have to stay back. Unicorns prefer a lady's touch.
Yep.
Which I thought, that's not good. You shouldn't be showing them an animal that like only half the class can like interact with.
I think it's the unicorn's fault. Sexist unicorns.
I suppose so, yeah. But then I feel like Grubbly Plank is an enabler then.
Yeah, well, maybe. But at the same time, if you know someone's a, you know, prejudice and there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it, you don't want to just put people in danger by...
Yeah, but it'd be like you taking me to a party, right? You go and give to my mate who hates black people, so you can stand outside, but the rest of you, come on in. You're just like feeding me scraps through the window. Like, oh, thanks, mate. Can I have a glass of Cherryade as well? Thanks.
Typical.
Oh, God. So afterwards, like they overhear, I think, Parvati saying how what a good lesson that was and how she much prefers it to Hagrid's.
Yeah, and Harry's like, what?
Yeah, he's like, what, but what about Hagrid? And she's like, what about him? Yeah. And he's like, ah. And then she gives him a wink and he's like, And then Hermione's like, that was a really... She like comes along after this happens and she's like, that was a really good lesson. I didn't know all this stuff about blah, blah, blah.
And Harry just glares at her.
Yeah. And then she's like, I miss Hagrid, of course, of two and stuff. That was weird English. Sorry about that. And
yeah,
then he
she's
shows...
like, yeah, of course I miss Hagrid. But, you know, you must admit, it's nice to have a...
Of course I do, Harry. Yeah. Of course I do.
Oh, Hagrid's the best.
No, do it in the accent.
Harry, look, of course I fucking miss Hagrid.
Oh, my God, that tickles me so much. Oh, dear. And then he shoves a fucking article in front of her and she's like, that awful, wretched woman.
Quite right.
Yes, I concur. She's like, what? He's like, never mind.
So they go down to see Hagrid at his hut.
Oh, question. We hear that Hagrid's full name is Rubeus Hagrid.
Yeah.
And I did wonder, do you think at school his nickname was Rubby Hagrid?
Because of how rubby he gets.
Yeah.
Almost certainly, yeah.
Yeah. I think I would have called him that. All right, Rubby.
I mean, probably Ruby.
That's a girl's name.
Exactly. That's why it's funny.
I feel like Hagrid, I feel like he doesn't play with that kind of thing. I think he'd just smack you around your... And his strength, he'd probably kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess like Ruby or... Maybe if you said it like far enough away. But all right, Ruby. And he'd be like,
He's like, you'll understand that joke in about 50 years.
Because right now the hit on our radio is Hardy, 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 Ha. Like, those jazzy tunes. Oh, God. So, yeah, they go to Hagrid's cabin.
He won't answer, though.
Yeah.
He's all tucked up.
I mean, he's probably laying on his floor, fucking drunk out of his head with like 6 bottles of whiskey.
Probably.
Definitely naked.
Yep. He's probably... Something in his ass.
Yeah. Probably Fang. Again.
Fang.
But he toys a rope around him so he can find his way back out.
He tugs on it 3 times.
Imagine Fang coming out in like the old timey like divers like yeah. outfit. Also, so Hagrid misses his lessons all week, and in their next Care of Magical Creatures lesson, Malfoy is still giving them shit. And then Malfoy references the Elephant Man. He calls Hagrid that, basically.
Was he?
You know, yeah, and I was like, how the fuck did Malfoy know about the Elephant Man?
Yeah, don't know. So maybe at some point the Elephant Man joined, he's joined a few like travelling circuses and freak shows and stuff.
Yeah, but how would wizards know about that?
Maybe one of them was a wizardy one.
I don't buy that. Because why would they even like be interested in Muggle history at all? Especially the Malfoys.
Yeah, but that's a bit, so maybe the Elephant Man at one point joined a wizardy circus or something.
I don't understand why he would be famous enough to be part of, especially as like wizarding maladies are often quite extreme anyway. So why would the Elephant Man even be in like anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's just weird that Malfoy threw that out. I thought that was a bit of a...
Yeah, I didn't even clock it.
Yeah.
That is weird though.
Or maybe there is like a wizarding Elephant Man who was actually an Elephant Man.
It's a different thing entirely, yeah.
He's like, yes, he was like this king. I think his name was Baba. Good friend of the family. they go to Hogsmeade. Do they go to the Three Broomsticks or the Hogshead?
Yeah, they go to the Three Broomsticks.
And
Harry's hoping to run into Hagrid there, but they actually see Ludo Bagman.
Yeah, and he comes up to Harry and he starts talking to him, saying, Harry, how are you getting on with that egg and stuff?
Harry's like, oh, yeah, you know, fine.
Yeah, it goes up nicely. He's like, good, good. Yes, I heard how you were done with your Sirius Black, so I was like, yeah, let me give him an egg this time.
It's a challenge, but it's nice and tapered, so...
It's getting it back out that's the problem, Harry. Just make sure you tie a string on the end.
So yeah, basically Bagman wants to offer Harry some help, which Harry refuses because he's an honourable bastard.
Yeah, he says he feels like accepting help off of Bagman felt a lot more like cheating than accepting help off of Hagrid and his friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, I mean, I get it, but also you didn't ask to be in this tournament, so I think you should take whatever help you can get.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Which Bagman also says.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, you were thrown into this tournament, Harry. You didn't ask for it.
Oh.
I want to help you however I can.
Fucking hell, almost verbatim what I said. Yeah.
And then Fred and George turn up and they're all like, can we buy you a... Yeah, let's buy you a drink, Ludo. And he's like, oh, no. I must be going now.
I feel like at this point they should have just said exactly what they were there for.
And Fred, Ludo, Fred and George.
Yeah, they should have just been like, look, mate, where's our money?
Mm.
And then let him explain himself out of that one. I mean, really, it's their fault. You really shouldn't gamble unless you can afford to never see that money again.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's definitely good gambling advice.
Yeah.
And the bet that they placed was fucking stupid anyway.
Yeah. do you know what? I think they deserve this.
Yeah. Be a good life lesson for them.
This is what happens when you don't listen to your mother. Then shortly after, Rita Skeeter like arrives.
Yeah, God, there's so much fucking plot in all these chapters.
No, right?
Like, three chapters an episode is a lot.
Should we just do like half a chapter an episode?
Like, it was fine in the first book.
Yeah, literally, like the whole story happened in chapter one. It's
yeah. But like, it's so I keep thinking like, oh, would you like make less notes for each chapter so we can like make it snappier? But like, so much happens in all of them.
It's, I literally like, did make less notes, and it's still taking forever.
Yeah.
Oh God! So Rita Skeeter arrives. She's like, Harry, blah blah blah, and then he's like, how dare you write that shit about Hagrid in the fucking paper,
you bitch?
Yeah. And then Hermione's like, you just don't care who you hurt, do you? Blah, blah, blah.
You're and a fucking then... awful, dreadful woman.
And then she's like, she says like, something, something, you silly girl. I could tell you stories about Bagman that would make even your frizzy hair curl.
Not that it needs it.
Yeah. And she thinks she's like proper swish for giving that insult.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck off, fucking...
Oh, fuck yourself, you fucking bitch. With that fucking quill up your cunt.
And Harry's just like, oh! Shots fired.
As Hermione is pissed and she storms back, leads them right back up to the Hogwarts grounds and up to the door of Hagrid's hut and starts banging on the door and is like, fucking, don't you let that woman fucking say that shit.
Yeah, we don't care if you're a giant, Hagrid.
Yeah.
We still hate you, no matter what you are.
We just wanted you to know that.
Yeah.
Bye.
You just hear him wail from inside. But yeah, as she's about to do a final like pump on the door, fucking Dumbledore opens it. And she's like, oh, oh. And he's like, oh. And she's like, oh. And he's like, oh. And they go inside.
Yep, Dumbledore summons... A revolving tea tray appeared in midair, along with a plate of cakes.
Oh, what's that thing you put it on? Like, is it a Lazy Susan?
Fucking lazy bitch.
Fucking can't even be bothered to turn around.
I was more just being like, it just written in such a way that it sounds like Dumbledore summons up a load of food again.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's written, the quote is, Dumbledore, like, waved his wand, a revolving tea tray appeared in midair along with a plate of cakes.
Maybe they're from his private stash.
Maybe.
Maybe he's got a little stash of treats next to his bed.
Yeah.
In one drawer he's got cakes, the other drawer he's got fucking various aggressive sex devices.
That he can summon at a moment's notice.
Yeah. One drawer he's got that fucking like a knife penis from Seven. He's just like, ah. Better not get these mixed up. Oh God.
Yeah, it actually wouldn't surprise me if Dumbledore just had things in place that meant he could appear to be doing magic, impossible magic like that.
Yeah. So Dumbledore's like, see, did you hear what they said? They don't care that you're a half giant.
Yeah. They basically convinced Hagrid he's being an idiot.
Yeah, because he's been getting letters.
Yeah, Dumbledore's been getting letters saying, like, oh, I remember Hagrid from when I was at school, and he wouldn't hurt a bit, bloody ridiculous, and don't you think about letting him go.
And then Hagrid's like, yeah, but not all of them say that. And then, like, Dumbledore's like, Hagrid, if you are holding out for universal popularity, you'll be waiting in this hut a very long time. Not a week has gone by since I started this job where someone hasn't emailed me. Yeah. Oh, God. 10-inch wizard at Yahoo.co.uk.
At LBD.
Yeah. Yeah, hasn't sent me an owl telling me how to do my job better. Dumbledore's like, I refuse to accept your resignation and I expect you to join me for breakfast at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Good day.
Yep.
And then he fucks off.
And he's like, he's right, of course.
Yeah, it's great man, Dumbledore.
Hey, great man.
You would never fucking fly, except when he does, but we don't talk about that. Would never fly, but would hurt many women. Or should be telling you this, but I've had so much to fucking drink. They're buried under the fucking patio. Oh, God.
He loves them flies, though. Wouldn't hurt a single one.
Wouldn't hurt no one for nothing. They wouldn't know he's where I... Flies, centipedes, butterflies. He loves them all.
Great man.
But if you got a pair of tits, you better run for your life.
Hagrid shows him a picture.
Oh, we fucking missed the fucking choice thing. Sorry. Dumbledore tells them about his brother.
Oh,
and
yeah.
How he got prosecuted for doing inappropriate charms with a goat. I was like, shit, son. That's about as dark as JK gets in this book, I think. And it's something that you kind of glance over as
a
child.
Yeah, it's still delivered in a pretty sort of whimsical, fun way.
Yeah. Yes, my brother was sentenced because he fucked goats. Oh, God. And everyone's just like, oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
We've all got one in the family. Yeah. Oh, do you want to hear a goat story, by the way?
Sure.
So my friend in high school, she's from Jamaica, and she went back to Jamaica for a cousin's wedding or something. And when she was there, she kept on hearing that, because they were going to have goat as for like a goat curry, I think, as part of the meal and stuff. But she kept on hearing the people who were like sorting the food out asking for a he-goat. And she was like, what is this about? And so when she heard it again next, she said, what is this thing about having a he-goat? And they said it's because they want a he-goat because they didn't trust that the guy who was like shepherding the goats in general wasn't fucking the female goats. So they had to make sure they bought a male one.
Jesus. I mean, I feel like if you're not above fucking a female goat, you're not above fucking a male goat, surely.
I was like, what? And she was like, yeah. I was like, fucking hell, that is amazing. Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Did you say Jesus Christ?
Cheese?
Yeah.
Is Christ.
That's what I founded my congregation on.
Yeah.
So yeah, Hagrid gives them the motivational speech. That's it. He goes, Harry, have you having luck with that egg? And Harry's like, yeah, I've almost finished it. And then he's like, good. Take photos. No, he's like, good, because Harry, I want you to win it. I want you to win it, and then we can all show him. Yes, we can. And Harry's like, it felt weird lying to Hagrid.
Yeah.
In a way that it didn't feel lying to Hermione or Ludo.
Yeah.
And I was like, mate, you shouldn't lie, because if you had just said, I'm struggling a bit, then you could have had like a little slumber party and all figured it out together. You could have played spin the egg.
Who's going to sit on it this time?
Yeah, then that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so the chapter ends with... time
to
see if Cedric's hint was worth anything.
Yeah, he grabs the egg, grabs his bubble bath.
Slips on up to the prefect's bathroom, concealing the egg somehow. Chapter 25 is called The Egg and the Eye.
Yeah, why is it called the... Oh... Yeah.
Whoa.
So Harry decides to use the prefect's bathroom at night.
Yes. He uses the cloak and the marauder's map, his spy tools.
Yeah, spools.
His spools. To get up to the prefect's bathroom without being seen, and the bathroom is snazzy as fuck.
It's like a little palace, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all white marble with like huge like swimming pool like bath.
Yeah, why is it that big?
Do
you think it didn't used to be a prefect's bathroom? It used to be like maybe the bathroom for one of the founders, and they just turned it into a prefect's bathroom.
Probably.
But why wouldn't you make that the teacher's? So like, imagine what the teacher's bathroom looks like then.
Yeah.
Maybe they all have en suites like in their bedrooms. That would make more sense.
Yeah, they probably do, don't they? Yeah, they're not. Imagine like a giant teacher's bathroom like that with a big bath where they all bath together.
And Snake's like swimming costume is just like a wetsuit. And McGonagall's there, like her tits down to her knees, and she's like, "Oh, Severus, why don't you just, you know, strip off and join the rest of us?"
And he's just like, Snape's got his like shower cap on.
No, I don't feel comfortable.
She's like, "It's all right, look, we're naked." And she's like, waggles the. And he's like,
"Precisely."
Yeah. And he's like, "No, okay then." And he strips off. And he's just like this awful. He just looks like sort of like an inner tube, just like grey, awful skin. And McGonagall's like, "Maybe put the suit back on." And he's like, "I just want someone to love me." And Noah's noticed that Professor Flitwick has drowned in the corner. Yeah, there's like a diving board into the pool as well.
Yeah.
And there's loads of taps.
And they all have different... The water's infused with different types of bubble bath in each tap. So yeah, Harry has a jolly old time trying out all the different taps.
Yeah.
Seeing how they all fit.
Colonic.
Different fragrances.
Yeah.
And then he gets naked and gets in the bath.
Yeah, and then he
does a couple of laps up and down the pool. And I did think, like, how would he have learnt to swim? But then he does sort of bring it up later in the chapter.
Does he?
Yeah, well, when he realises he's going to have to go in the lake, he's like, oh, shit. He's not a very strong swimmer. Like, he's never... Dudley had swimming lessons, but the Dursleys never let him have any. Like, doing a couple of lengths up and down this bath was all well and good, but in
I
the
guess,
lake.
Like, in that scenario, doing... Like, most people would be able to do, like, a really basic sort of, like... Even, like, a doggy paddle things. Maybe he was just doing that.
I suppose so, yeah.
And his feet... I doubt it's probably, like, a 3 foot deep. But then you wouldn't have a diving board for a 3 foot pool.
No, exactly, yeah. It's got to be a deep end and a shallow end.
Oh, God, I'd be too scared to get in there.
Yeah, well...
If you could see the look that Tom just gave me.
So when did this all start? Because you've told me you've been on boats before.
Yeah.
Like your shitting yourself at Disneyland story started on a boat.
Yeah, I could get on that because it was like across like a, just like a massive like lake. I knew I wasn't going to be on the boat for very long. It didn't seem that scary. So I can get on like a ferry or something like that. I don't like it, but I can do it. But yeah, it started when I was about 16, I had this dream about going down. It was like I was part of this like tour group and we went down to like the bottom of this. It wasn't the ocean, but we went down into this water thing to sort of do like a look around, and the vessel we were in had like glass walls and stuff. And then we broke down and then sharks started like attacking like the vessel.
Really?
Yeah, and started like breaking in, and it frightened me so much that after I woke up from that point onwards, I had this fear of sharks.
Oh, well, that was a dream.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, it wasn't fucking hell, Tom.
That's why I was like, oh, fucking hell, really?
Yeah, yeah, it was just like
I missed you saying it was a dream.
Yeah, it was so intense because I used to really like sharks before that. I used to love watching Jaws. I used to like watching documentaries on them. Then after that dream, I literally woke up with this just intense phobia of them. And it was so bad at one point that I couldn't like even like look at a picture of a shark. If someone... people used to do things. Like, I remember once my mum giving me... She left the paper on the table because I used to read the paper when she would like bring it home. And I was leafing through it. And on one page, there was this massive picture of a great white shark. She'd like... written like a message on it like hello like that or something, because she knew that I would like get to it as I went through it. I was like, you're so fucking mean.
That's quite funny though.
Yeah, like if I saw a picture of a shark, I would like scream and like cover my eyes. It's really fucking intense. Like, it's lessened a lot now. I can watch most things with sharks and stuff like that and not get too bad, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, see, I would not get in that prefect's bath.
But there's no sharks in there.
I know, but just the fact that I couldn't... If it was deep enough that I couldn't, like... Yeah, I just... my mind would start playing, like, tricks on me. And if I was at a wizarding school, yeah. I wouldn't take the risk. I would have just submerged the egg in the sink and been like, oh, okay. Anyway, Myrtle appears.
Yeah, the egg still sounds incomprehensible. And Myrtle's like, I'd try putting it in the water if I were you.
Can we have a theme tune for Myrtle?
Just crying sounds.
What, like the melody? Hold on.
He's doing a little head jig.
It's not that funny, but he's like, moaning Myrtle, moaning Myrtle, she comes around the bend. Moaning Myrtle, moaning Myrtle, she wants to be your friend.
All right. Every time Moaning Myrtle appears from now on, then you're on that, yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Moaning Myrtle, Moaning Myrtle, her face just makes you sick. Moaning Myrtle, Moaning Myrtle, whoops, she saw your dick.
Yeah, you've got to do like you do with the Neville theme song. You've got to do new relevant lyrics for each appearance.
Oh, good. Right.
So Harry's like, Myrtle! How long have you been there? She's like, oh, don't worry. I covered my eyes.
She's
when
She's like,
you...
always.
Oh, God.
Harry's like, what? So you just come and watch Prefix take their baths? She's like, sometimes.
Yeah, and she complains that he ain't visited. And
oh, yeah.
Harry's like, yeah, sorry about that. And then he bends his knees in the bath just to make sure that she can't see anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think it's a bit late for that. Like, you stripped off naked to get in the bath. She's been there that whole time.
Yeah, well, he makes her cover her eyes while he gets out and goes and gets the egg.
Mm.
And then he opens it underwater.
Oh, God, I just love the moment when I can see, like, you, like, waning. It's like... Yes, yeah, so he gets the thing and he does the thing.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I just start sentence. I just start with and then, and I've got nowhere to go other than literally just say the next thing that happens.
So yeah, he gets the egg, he opens it underwater,
yeah.
And then he can't hear anything. And she's like, "You've got to put your head under the water as well." And he's like, "Ah, oh, okay." So he does it, and then we hear the mermaid song.
Yeah,
and it's like, what's it in the film? Because in the film, it has like a melody.
Oh. Have you got all the words
Come
there?
Come seek us where our voices sound. We cannot sing above the ground. Or something like that. And it's all like, ah. But yeah.
Is it?
Like,
I can't remember.
It's not that impressive. But yeah, it's like, come seek us. But in the book, it's just got like a rhythm to it, I guess. It's like, come seek us where our voices sound. We cannot sing above the ground. And while you're searching, ponder this. We've taken what you'll sorely miss. An hour long, you'll have to look and to recover what we took. But past an hour, the prospect's black. Too late, it's gone. It won't come back.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And Harry's like, oh, fuck, what? So he puts his head back under to give another listen.
And the mermaid was just under there, just looking at him. Where are you going to put that egg, Harry?
Harry felt a chill around his nethers. Then he comes back up and he's like, oh, okay.
He figures out that he needs to go down into the lake and he's like, Myrtle, what else lives in the lake other than the giant squid? She's like, oh, all sorts.
Licorice ones. He's like, oh, one of the hosts of this podcast I listen to loves those. But apparently not. He just brings them up all the time.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to actually like them that much. He just seems to bring up these sweets all the time.
Oh, God. And then he looks up at the painting on the wall that is of a mermaid. And he goes, Myrtle, are there mer people in the lake? And then she's like, oh, well done. It took Cedric much longer to figure that out. And that was when the painting was awake.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, oh, yeah.
And she says, it took him so long to figure it out. He was sat here talking to himself. He was sat here until almost all the bubbles had gone.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I bet you were fucking watching him all yeah. that time, weren't you?
I was sitting on the edge of the pool just flicking my ghost bean.
My geen.
And Cedric was like, well, I've always wanted to do it with a dead person. You're the closest thing, I guess. So we tried to copulate Harry. It was weird because he ended up just rubbing his dick across the hard concrete next to the pool. But alas, the visual was enough for me.
As soon as he put it through me, it got very cold and shrank right back up again.
When he came, it froze straight away.
I've still got it as a little ice pop back in my bathroom.
I'm thinking about selling them to Weasley's Wizarding Weasley. We're going to call them spops.
Guess the flavour.
Oh, God. Yeah, so Harry's like, ah, fuck. And then he starts freaking out because he's like, how am I supposed to fucking breathe underwater to retrieve whatever they fucking took?
Yeah, he asks about all that and she goes, oh, how very insensitive of you. I haven't been able to breathe in...
And she flies back up the U-bend.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, Myrtle.
Flies back up the U-bend. Yeah. And Harry hasn't got time for that. So he leaves after upsetting Myrtle, and he has the Marauder's map out. And as he's looking at it, he sees that someone strange is raiding Snape's office.
Yeah. Everyone was still except for one little figure darting back and forth in Snape's office. Mm. He looked closer and it was Barty Crouch.
Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what?
And he can't, obviously he can't not investigate that.
Yeah. And because he's not looking where he's going, he steps on the trick stair.
Yeah. Gets his bloody leg stuck, doesn't he?
Yeah. Ugh. And he drops the egg.
Oh,
he drops his mat.
Oh, no.
And the fucking egg busts open.
Oh.
And he starts wailing.
Oh, you gotta be fucking... I don't believe it.
I don't believe it. Yeah, and obviously that, the wailing, Harry's scared if anyone's around, they're going to hear that straight away.
Yeah.
So he tries to reach out for the egg in the map and he can't reach both. And straight away I was like, you've just learned the Accio spell. Why didn't you do that?
Oh my God, yeah, right? That didn't even occur to me, but that's such a good point.
Yeah, that's the first thing I think of. If I couldn't reach it with my hand, because that would be your like instant reaction would be to reach for it, I'd have been like, Accio egg, Accio map. And they both would have whizzed into my hands.
Yeah.
She should have done it that he tried to do that and they didn't move because the egg was enchanted so that the champions maybe couldn't Accio it from the thing. And then the map was just enchanted so that it couldn't ever be like stolen by a teacher who was just trying to like retrieve like naughty objects from any of the marauders maybe. Anyway, so Filch fucking comes along, him and Mrs. Norris.
Yeah.
And he's like, Peeves!
Peeves!
Yeah.
You bloody done it this time, Peeves!
And then he sees the egg and he's like, this belongs to one of the champions. Peeves has been stealing.
Yeah.
And then Snape appears in his long grey overshirt sleepy thing.
With his, obviously with a little like Scrooge nightcap on.
Yeah, I literally wrote Scroogey. Yes.
And he's carrying the, like the little candle in the holder. Yeah.
And he's like, what's the commotion? And then Filch explains. And then he's like, but Peeves can't get into my personal
storage. Someone's been rummaging in my office. It's like, yeah. Oh, well, that can't have been Peeves, sir.
It's like, no, because I seal my office with a spell that can only be broken by a wizard.
I was like, well, then what's the point? Everyone here is a wizard.
Yeah, but I guess you can't seal it with a... Is there such a thing that can be not be broken by anyone at all?
I think there is, but...
It's probably more powerful magic than you would bother using to lock your office every day.
I guess so, yeah.
And then, yeah, Moody arrives and can see Harry, obviously. Mm. And Harry has a jolt of fear. Snape says he thinks a student has raided his cupboard. Potion ingredients have gone missing. Moody's like, potion ingredients, eh? Not keeping anything else in that office of yours, are you, Samara?
He's like, no. Why do you ask?
Well, Dumbledore may believe in second chances, but I say there are some spots that never come up. Do you know what I mean, Samara?
When Snape's like,
yes. Oh, and by the way, Moody, how's your wife?
Contemptuous!
At the mention of there are some spots that never come off, you know what I mean, Snape. Snape, like, grabs his arm and is like, ah.
Yeah, he gets a bit touchy, didn't he?
He grabs his own arm.
Oh, does he?
And he's all like, ah.
Yeah.
As if he's, like, just had a jolt of pain or something.
And yeah, I reckon that's a subconscious thing. And huh? I reckon that's Voldy.
Yeah.
Because I think he does it at, like, other times where it's not actually Voldemort.
It's just subconscious being, like just touching where it is kind yeah. of thing. Yeah, maybe.
And Snape gets a bit defensive about it and then he's like, that map belongs to Potter, he's here somewhere. So he starts like searching
yeah
around.
Yeah, he's like, Potter, That's Potter's egg. That's his parchment. I've seen it before. He's here in his invisibility cloak and he starts like groping around
for
Harry.
How does he know about the invisibility cloak? Oh, he used it in book three, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then Moody manages to stop him from...
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Moody basically says, like, go to bed, Snape. He's like, you don't have authority to tell me to go to bed. Snape's like, fine. He goes to walk off with the... Like, goes to, like, pick up the map, and Harry, like, waves frantically at Moody and is like, it's mine, it's mine.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, wait, Snape, I'll take that part one.
And so it's like, oh, no, but I want it. And he's like, no. He just like and goes, oh, and spits on it. He's like, oh, it's mine now. Right. So it's
like, but you said you've already seen it, so it's my turn.
I just want my wife back.
Oh, yeah, when Snape... says he can see Harry, Moody's like, there's nothing there. I'll be happy to tell Dumbledore, though, how quickly your mind jumped
that's
to Harry
it.
Potter.
That's what makes Snape stop.
Yeah, he'll be very keen to know who's got it. He's very keen to know who's got it in for that boy, as am I. And Snape's yeah. like, you win this round.
And then Snape like kind of just like floats off into the background and merges with the wall.
He just like turns into bats yeah. and disappears. Moody takes the egg back off Filch. He's like, but that's evidence. He's like, fuck off, Filch.
Yeah.
And then he does.
Yeah, and then he rescues Harry.
Yep.
Moody's like, oh, this is a peculiar looking map. And then he's like, yeah, it's a map of Hogwarts. And then Moody goes, huh, does this show you everyone who's in Hogwarts?
Mm.
And then
Harry's you didn't happen to see who broke into Professor Snape's office, did you? Did you, boy?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's so weird. It said Barty Crouch, but he's meant to be ill.
Yeah,
he's like, and Moody's like, ah,
Just slowly drifts off.
Yeah, said Moody, fingering his wand. Yeah. Yeah, and then he's like, do you mind if I borrow this from you, Potter?
Yeah, yeah.
And Potter's and like, I guess, okay.
Yeah.
He's like, he was just so relieved to not have been in trouble. That
yeah,
he didn't
Harry's, at one point, Harry's like, why do you think Mr. Crouch would be raiding Snape's office? And he goes... You know, they say mad. They say all mad.
Because I'm Mr. Crouch. Oh, wait.
You see, Harry, it wasn't the Barty Crouch you know. It was his son, which is me. Oh, wait, shit.
Yes. I put your name in the Goblet of Fire. I mean...
the trial was a cup of support kick. Oh.
No, I'm Voldemort's most faithful servant. Ah, damn it. Oh, God. So before he goes, he says that Harry would make a good aura. He's got the skills and tenacity for it.
Yes.
Which is a thought that never leaves Harry after that point.
Exactly. But he says he thinks he'd like to see how scarred the rest of them are before he decides that that's exactly what he wants to be.
Yeah, me too.
It's fair enough.
Yeah. And then we go into chapter 26, the second task.
Yeah.
They're studying banishing charms.
Yes, the opposite of summoning charms. They send stuff away.
And Harry's, like, telling them about the night before while they're in class, and they're not really paying attention, so, like, the cushions that they're trying to banish are kind of flying everywhere.
Yeah. Harry then writes to Sirius to tell him everything that happened the night before. No, wait, he tells him... What does he tell him? He tells him all about, yeah, the stuff that happened the night before.
Yeah, but he doesn't ask him about advice on the egg.
That's it, yeah. That's what he forgets to tell him.
Yeah, so then he gets the letter back from Sirius, because he needs to try and find a spell to breathe underwater for an hour, and the others haven't really got any ideas. And Sirius sends a letter back saying, give me the dates of your next Hogsmeade weekend. And that's it.
Yeah, which he does. Which is after they've spent so much time in the library, unable to find anything. And it's like, there's a week left before the task. Then 5 days left, then 3 days. And they spent all of this time in the library. I thought, surely, like, being able to breathe underwater is, like, right up there with being able to fly... And, like, the main things you would want to be looking to do if you had magic. Like,
also, why didn't they just ask fucking, like, Madam Pince? Just, like, have you got any books about, like, underwater
yeah.
breathing stuff? And she'd be like, yes. Then she opens
yes,
up the
I'm
back
a librarian. That's
yeah.
what I'm here for.
She bends over, pulls off her wig, and she's just got, like, a little, like, index on the back of her skull. And they're like, okay. And she's like, ah, oh, here it is. And mine is like, am I the only one freaked out that she has the entire Dewey decimal system like on the back of her head? And Pince is like, I'm just an avid book fan. They're like, clearly.
Clearly. Hermione's like, you know, I've been looking for a certain book.
Oh. Oh, God.
That's
Woo.
That's one for the regular listeners there. People are just joining in at this episode. They've got no idea what that's about.
I love it. Oh, my God. So Hagrid is back at work now.
Yes, but he's continuing the lessons on unicorns. And it turns out he knows just as much about unicorns as he does about monstrous things.
Yeah, and it's a shame he doesn't just, like, utilise that more, because then people wouldn't hate him so much.
Yeah.
If they learn about stuff that looked pretty and didn't kill you, then he'd probably get lots of, like...
Yeah,
no.
But that's the thing. In Hagrid's mind, that's boring. He wants the lessons to be, like, exciting and interesting. And what he finds exciting and interesting, everyone else is like, no thanks.
Do you think that's, like, his, like, giant blood that brings that out in him?
Maybe, yeah.
I guess so,
yeah. I assumed you were going to ask if that was his fetish.
Oh, I can if you want.
I mean, I just assumed that was where it was going.
Is that Hagrid's fetish, Tom?
Yes.
Scary ones.
All right, moving on.
And it's a baby unicorn they're looking at, and the baby's like bright gold, and they don't mind the touch of boys. Harry still doesn't have a way of breathing underwater, so they're back in the library.
No, and Hagrid like is taking him aside during that lesson, and is like, yeah, how you doing, Harry? He's like, yeah, yep, all good. All
right. But if he just asked Hagrid, Hagrid would be like, what you need is gillyweed. Or
yeah,
is it gillyweed?
Maybe. Gillyweed.
Gillyweed.
Yeah.
And Hagrid would be like, oh, have you got some? He's like, yeah, come by mine later, we'll roll some up, have a good old time.
Go for a nice swim, Harry.
Yeah. Have you breathing under all sorts of fluids? We can try out my new submersion tank. Oh, God. One of the books they're looking at is called Saucy Tricks for Tricky Swords.
Yeah.
I quite liked that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. There's the night before the task, and Harry's losing his shit. Yeah, I can't believe there's nothing in the library, or I can't find anything in the library about breathing underwater, but whatever.
Mm.
Fred and George emerge while they're sat in the library,
yeah.
And they're like, Ron, Hermione, come on, McGonagall wants you.
Yeah, she seemed a bit flustered. And they're like, oh, I wonder what for? Do you think that we're in trouble for helping Harry? And they're like, don't know, mate.
She said something about a biscuit tin.
And they're like, ah. Everyone's like, lucky I didn't have dinner then.
Yeah.
And he's like, what?
What? Can I borrow your egg, Harry? You know, just loosen up.
And I always carry a pot of mum's gravy. Yeah. So Harry goes back to the common room to try and do some more reading, I think. But then he ends up going back to the library in the end because he can't find anything.
Yeah, there's like no time left. Ron and Hermione haven't come back. He goes back to the library at night under the invisibility cloak, and he's like, he'll stay there all night if he has to.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he finds himself back in the prefect's bathroom with the mermaid in the portrait laughing at him and holding his firebolt up and out of reach. And he's like, give me it. Stop it.
And then... he realises it's a dream because he wakes up with Dobby fucking screaming in his ear and jumping at him.
The mermaid's jabbing him with the firebolt, and he's like, oh, stop it, it hurts. And then he's like, wake up, Harry Potter.
Wake up, Harry Potter.
Stop it. Stop poking me. Dobby must poke Harry Potter, sir. He must wake up.
He's like, the task is in 10 minutes. And Harry's like, 10 minutes?
10 minutes?
Just jumps out, runs to the window, jumps out.
There's nothing else for it, Dobby. I'm jumping. It's like, but Harry Potter, Dobby has brought you something. No, Dobby, there's no time. I'm jumping.
But if you ever just listen, fine, you're coming with me then. And Dobby's like, oh, at least I die with friends. Oh, dear. And Harry's like, Dobby, what am I going to do? I can't go to the task. I ain't got anything. And then Dobby's like, I know. That's why I've got something for you. And he gives him...
Gillyweed.
Gillyweed, that's it.
Dobby knows that Harry Potter has to go and get his Wheezy.
He's like, what? Your Wheezy, they're taking your Wheezy. It's in the bottom of the lake. And he's like, what's my fucking Wheezy? And Dobby's like, you know, your
Speak
Wheezy.
Properly, Dobby.
And Harry realizes he's got no lungs. And he's like, oh. Yeah.
Well, they weren't lying. They really did take that was most precious to me.
I guess I don't really need gillyweed after all. So apparently Dobby overheard teachers talking about this or something. So
Harry grabs the gillyweed, runs for it, gets there just in time. And then he hears, where have you been? And it's Percy Weasley sat at the judge's table in place of Barty Crouch.
Harry should have just been like, fuck off, Percy.
Yeah, that's the appropriate reaction to most things Percy says.
Yeah, I think if you just established that you didn't like him really early on, then he just wouldn't fuck with you, you know?
Yeah.
He would just sit on the opposite end of tables if he was ever at the Weasley's house. Just got to go straight in there for the jugular, I think, because he's one of those annoying people that are, like, aggressively annoying.
Mm.
They wouldn't leave you alone. And he's such a cunt anyway that you wouldn't... I don't think you'd feel bad about just telling him to fuck off.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I think you're better at that than me.
They go 3-2-1, and then... And Harry, like, wades into the lake and then puts the gillyweed in his mouth, and it's super, super chewy.
And it's all cold, and nothing happens, and he realizes he must look ridiculous just having waded out into the lake.
Laughing, I think.
Yeah, nothing going on.
And then a slit opens up behind each ear and starts flapping in the wind.
And he's like, I love flappy slits.
Oh, God. He gets his fingers and is like, and he's like, no, I have to find my Wheezy. Oh, God. So he like flops into the water.
He realizes he has gills. His hands and feet have become webbed, and he doesn't feel cold, and he can see clearly, and he doesn't need to blink. His glasses stay on somehow.
Yeah, I don't think his eyesight rectifies. I think it's just not as murky.
Yeah, he can see as he would be able to see above ground, I guess.
Mm, but it's still like super dark.
Yeah.
I don't really know what happened there. He's underwater. And then he's swimming, and he sees Grindylows, and they get all like aggro.
They get all feisty and grabby.
And then he, because starts getting like darker and darker the further he goes, because it's fucking, it's not a lake. This is like a proper like ocean depth kind of body of water, it seems.
It's a big lake.
Yeah. Then if he goes like, he says he's like over a mile down or something. And then he sees like a little like light in the distance, and he sees like a little sort of like Mercy emerging.
Yeah. At one point he hears a voice asking, how are you getting on?
Oh, of course, yeah.
And we meet a character who I believe has a theme tune now.
Oh, fuck, I forgot the melody.
Yeah, me too.
Was it like Moaning Myrtle?
It was something like that.
Moaning Myrtle, Moaning Myrtle, Mistress of the Sea. Moaning Myrtle, Moaning Myrtle. Annoying as can be. Moaning Myrtle, Moaning Myrtle. She points over there. Moaning Myrtle, Moaning Myrtle. Does she really care? And then she's like, boop. Yes.
And she says to him, Harry tries to reply, and bubbles just come out of his mouth. Well, it says when he tries to reply, just a big bubble comes out of his mouth, which I'm like, so he can still produce air from his lungs then. But anyway.
Well, do fish make bubbles? They do, right?
Do they?
I think they can go like, and like create like a little bubble, I think. I might be making that up, though. If you've ever seen a fish make a bubble, then email.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was hoping that they would put some like effects on the voices like that when they were talking.
And did they?
No.
Oh.
What does Metal say again? I'll do it now.
She says, try over there. I don't like them. They chase me when I get too close.
Try over there. They don't like me. They chase me when I get too close.
That's some high-budget sound effects there.
And I was like, oh, thanks, maybe we can hang out with Lily. And she's like, really, Lily? And he's like, no.
No.
So So he swims to where she points and he sees the Mercy.
Yes, he hears a snatch of Mersong.
Fucking oh, sorry.
Oh, vagina jokes. We haven't come far.
That's what he said. Yeah, and he sees like sort of like a monolith in the middle. That's a very extreme word for that. He sees a small statue in the middle.
I mean, I've written a massive statue.
Oh. Yeah, was but it? Not a monolith.
It's a statue, though.
He sees a statue.
He sees a statue. And a statue. Four people are tied to the tail of it, so it's got to be like kind of big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, Ron's tied up between Hermione and Cho, and he's like, and Harry's like, oh, he hasn't got anything to, he's bound so tight, he hasn't got anything to, like, you know, untie him with.
Yeah, he didn't bring his wand. Oh, wait, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fucking weird.
So Harry asks one of the mermen if he can borrow a spear, and he's like, we do not help.
We do not.
Exactly.
And Harry's like, well, what do you do? And he's like, we make canapes. Would you like one? Harry's like, all right then. tastes all fishy. Yes. We use sea cows. What, this is like a manatee souffle? Like, yes.
Yes.
Excuse the slime. Harry's having like a little munch, like a little goblet of wine. He's like, fuck, I've got to save. I've got to save my Wheezy. So yeah, he picks up like a jagged bit of rock and starts like hacking at the thing.
Yeah, he uses it to cut Ron free, and then he tries to start untying the others because the other champions aren't arriving yet. But the mer people won't let him.
And then he sees Cedric arrive, right?
Yeah, and he waits around like, shit, what am I going to do? Cedric arrives with an enormous bubble around his head.
Yeah.
And he's like, we got lost. Fleur and Kramer are just coming now. And I can't remember exactly how Cedric...
He uses his wand to release the...
Yeah.
Her.
Sensibly.
And then he floats upwards with her, and then Harry sees fucking a shark coming towards him from the left.
Yeah, which is half crumb, half shark, which does sound pretty awful.
Oh my God.
Sounds monstrous. But, I mean, surely that's better than an actual shark.
Well, yeah, but as soon as I saw that coming to his eye, I would just put my wand under my chin and just fired a wand bullet into my head. My body just floats to the top, and Dumbledore's like, this has gone horribly wrong.
I assured them nobody would die.
Oh, well, waste not, what not.
He's even got another hole for me now.
What if I can put it in one side and make it come out the other?
I'll get Snape round. I'll put it in the front. He can put it in the back and we'll make them touch.
Crumb's trying to, like, bite the ropes away from Hermione, but Harry's worried that he's going to end up fucking tearing Hermione in half.
Yeah, because he's not got very... seem to have very good control over his teeth, so he gives Crumb the rock.
Yeah.
And then he cuts her. He cuts her loose.
Imagine, like, accidentally, like, cutting her, and obviously, like, her blood goes into the water, and his shark head just goes like...
He's just full feeding frenzies there.
So Harry's dead. Hermione's been ripped to shreds. Oh my God. Everyone's like, bloody hell. Dumbledore's like, oh fuck. So many letters I have to write home today. Oh, dear Mr. and Mrs. Granger, your daughter's ripped to shreds.
By a half shark, man. It was all part of a challenge we'd set up.
Yes, deepest condolences, Albus, Wolfric, Percival, Brian Dumbledore.
P.S., kiss. Hit me up on Instagram.
P.S., I kept the badge. Yeah. And like Hagrid writes a letter to them. He's like, "Oi, Troy to Warner." Yeah. Oi, said Flories and butterflies only. Oh, God, right. So fucking Harry can't see Fleur come in.
Yeah, Fleur doesn't arrive. So Harry grabs the jagged rock and starts trying to hack Gabrielle free. So then Harry decides to get his wand out and frighten off the mer people because they back off at the sight of the wand. Harry gets the impression that they didn't know any more magic than the giant squid.
Yeah.
So then he frees the other girl, struggles back up, carrying the two bodies, transforming back so his hands and feet are no longer webbed. The mer people like circling underneath him, and he's thinking, are they gonna try and like pull me back down? And he's in pain and cold and realizes he needs to breathe, he needs air. And then
I was getting so wrapped up in your
story. I know. Me too. And I wanted to say, and then sploosh.
I imagined him like breaking the surface, like the Little Mermaid, like
flowing
his
hair back. Yeah.
In the film, he uses a spell to get up. He says like "Ascendio" because the Grindelos start attacking him at the end of his.
Oh right,
so he goes "Ascendio," and he goes. Poof! And I thought that was really cool. So I wish he would have done that for this. But he comes out of the water and then Ron wakes up when they break the surface. And he says something, then he's like, why have you got that other girl? And Harry's like, because it said that once the hour's gone, you'll be lost forever. Then he's like, Harry, you fucking plonker. Didn't take it seriously, did you? And then Harry sort of realises what grave mistake he's made. And he's like, oh, what
Shit.
So they get... like onto the shore, I guess, and he sees Dumbledore chatting to one of the
Percy comes out to greet Ron. Hermione comes up to them and congratulates them. Harry and Ron return Gabrielle to Fleur and she gives them both a little kiss.
Say congratulations in Hermione's accent. It's my favorite thing to hear.
Harry comes up to Ron and Hermione comes up to Ron and Harry and she's like, fucking Harry and Ron, fucking congratulations, mate, you fucking made it.
Oh god, I remember once I was doing a film and one of the other actors had to do a Scouse accent and he had to say congratulations at one point, and they had this whole joke about saying that before you stab someone. Yeah, just made me laugh.
So Harry and Ron return Gabrielle to Fleur and she gives them both a little kiss.
And she's like, oh, you rescued my sister. Oh, no, I don't know why accent that one. Sorry.
you rescued my sister Gabrielle.
And she gives him a kiss and then she turns to Ron and's like, oh, you helped.
You helped.
And he's like,
yeah.
And she's like, oh.
And he's like, boing.
Yeah. She's like, oh, is that a wand in your pocket? Or are you happy to see?
No, it's my boner.
No, it's my fucking erection. Look, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. And she's like, oh, pardon. So yeah, Dumbledore finishes talking Mermish to the chief.
Yeah, so none of the judges have actually seen what's going on. All they've got is a perspective of the merman chief.
It's the lady chief.
However it is. Which makes me like, and it must be a really shitty spectator sport.
I was thinking the exact same thing. For an hour, everyone was just sitting there looking at a fucking, like, placid lake.
Yeah, looking at a fucking lake, including the judges. They have no idea what went on down there.
Why wouldn't you have a magical screen?
Yeah.
Actually, why wouldn't you have a magical screen that showed you exactly what was going on down there?
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Some sort of magic. Each of the champions gets a little device attached to them. And it creates a magical projection above the lake of each of the four champions and where they are and what they're doing that everyone can see.
Or we just, like, magic, like... cameras kind of positioned around the mer encampment.
Yeah, but that's a bit muggly. I would have liked something a little more fantasy and magic.
Not an actual camera, but something that gave something to that device.
Yeah,
that
exactly. Yeah,
just so they saw like a projected screen of what was going on down there.
I guess I'd have preferred something a little more.
I'd rather have seen that, I think, just so you can see everyone arrive at once, or not, rather, you know.
Well, anyway, some way of the audience seeing what the champions are... and the judges seeing what the champions are going on, because they've literally just got what the mer chief tells them.
Yeah, it's all bananas.
It is all bananas. But then, so they provide marks out of 50. Fleur didn't manage to rescue her person, so was awarded... but, you know, handily dispatched some Grindelos or anywhere. She gets 25 points.
She didn't deserve that.
No, she gets half points.
Yeah,
which
what's
is a
the
bit,
point?
Yeah. Cedric arrived just like 2 minutes outside the time limit, but was the first to return with his hostage, so receives 47 out of 50. Crumb was further outside the time limit, but also returned with his and got 40.
Yeah, and he didn't successfully do his charm as well, so I think he got points deducted from that for that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then Harry, they say Harry was the last to return, but according to the Merchief, was the first to reach the hostages and only stayed so long because he wanted to rescue all of them. Which most judges, with a pointed look at khaki pants, feel this shows exceptional moral fibre. Yes. But so, of a common consensus, we'll award Harry 45 points. And then Harry's like, hey, Ron's like, hey, go Harry, mate, you weren't being a plonker, you were showing moral fibre.
And Harry gets all glowy. He's like, oh,
Harry
wow.
gets a boner too.
Yeah.
The third task will be at dusk on the 24th of June. And Harry's going to buy Dobby a pair of socks for every day of the year.
Yeah, which he doesn't.
No, he fucking doesn't.
He does buy him a set of socks, but not one for every day of the year.
No, that would be a bit much, wouldn't it? Yeah.
That'd be like 730 actual socks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of socks.
It is, but also socks do tend to come in pairs, so that's a weird... You don't buy socks individually, so that's a weird way of saying it.
No, but because I know that they're going to mix and match.
Oh, yeah, so, that's true, yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, so fuck off, Tom.
I was thinking more in terms of how many pairs of socks he would have to buy.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe you just buy one pair and, like, duplicate them.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have to buy... Do you know what? He doesn't have to buy him anything. He didn't ask for the help.
Just well, no, but that makes
give
it more...
Give Dobby a smile and a kiss on the cheek, and that'll fucking make his life forever.
All right.
No, even better yet, just Avada Kedavra here, and then you never have to worry about this again.
Yeah, anyone you owe any favours to, if you just kill him, you don't owe him a favour anymore. Yeah.
Tell Dobby your darkest secret first, and then kill him. Oh, God, that brings us to the end of this episode.
Yes, it does.
Fucking hell, I can't believe how long that took.
I know. Do you want to wrap it up then? That's your bit. I do the opening, you do the closing.
So thank you for listening to this week's poorly written
episode, podcast.
Yeah, thank you for listening to this week's endeavour. We hope it...
Conversation.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to this week's hour and a half of Tom and Gifton pretending that they're friends. we hope it gave you mucho hilarity.
Indeed.
Perched you right up. Oh, I guess, like, our podcast is like a hump day treat, isn't it?
Hump day treat.
Yeah.
A hump treat day.
So, yeah, please check us out on Instagram at poorlyredpod. Check us out on Twitter at poorlyredpod. Email us anything you want at poorlyred@gmail.com. Well, not anything you want. We want it to be related either to us or the content in some way.
I don't know. Anything you want.
I mean, it depends on how interesting your offerings are. So think about that carefully. Yeah, join us next week for more thrilling tales from the Goblet of Fire.
Yes, thrilling
Ooh.
Tales.
Yeah, I have been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid, especially this episode, has very much been Hagrid.
Indeed.